I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Critics of a new Louisiana law requiring a display of the Ten Commandments in every public school classroom are promising to challenge the measure in court.
Louisiana's governor signed the law Wednesday. It requires a poster-sized display with large, easily readable typeface in all classrooms from kindergarten up to state-funded universities.
Legal challenges are already promised, and Republican Governor Jeff Landry says he knows that a legal fight is coming. He told reporters, quote, "I can't wait to be sued." Now, Louisiana is the first state in the nation to require the Ten Commandments be displayed in public school classrooms. And last year, Louisiana's GOP-controlled state legislature passed a similar measure that requires In God We Trust to be displayed in all public school classrooms as well. So this just one more step.
And we know the argument already. The ACLU and the others are going to complain about when you're conflicting and putting religion into our schools. These are public schools. Let's refresh that. Make sure you understand it. These are all public school institutions, including universities in the state of Louisiana. I, for one, I'm all happy about it. Whether it be in the classroom or on a large monument in front of the school. What do we have coming to the top that's complaining so much? Those who really just want to move away from God, period. But the Louisiana legislature and the Governor Landry are taking a little bit different approach. I don't think it's going to really win out in court, but let it be fought out. As he said, I'm ready. Bring it on. And I'm glad to see somebody stand up and say, we need to return to God. Now, you may call him by some other name. You may be Jewish. You may be Christian, you may be Hindu, you may be Buddhist, you may even be Muslim and look at Allah. Of course, that's going to be the other question that comes forward. What about our statements of faith? This is not really a statement of faith. This is the list of Ten Commandments that according to the Old Testament, and I believe in it, gave Moses on tablets when he went to the top of the mountain. If you recall, Moses later broke them apart because when he came back, he found his own people were sinning against God because they were already worshiping other gods and altars and everything else. I won't get all the way into theology on it, but I do want to continue to focus on what Louisiana did and what it means, what it says about our nation at this point. First, let me welcome you aboard. This is hour number one of Larry Connors USA, June 20, 2024. And I'm reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. How do you do that? Well, you go to Newstalk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, or you go to Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. Now, if you miss anything, either part, audio and or video, or you want to go back and just listen to it again and share with others, I always encourage you to share. You find the podcast. They go up immediately after we complete at LarryConnorsUSA.com and also at LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. Not hard to find us. And let me take a moment to remind you, we have two great FM signals where you can listen to us from anywhere within the region, but even I don't care if you're in Italy. Good luck for you in Italy. You can still listen because if you got one of these, a cell phone, you've got us in your pocket. You've got a radio. You can listen to us from around the world with the Newstalk STL app, absolutely free, or you can simply open up for streaming audio. Very easy. NewstalkSTL.com. You push a button, and it takes you to another page, you push a button, and suddenly you're listening. And I appreciate you doing it, however you listen, and spread the word to others. So here we have Louisiana stepping forward to do this. And, of course, the groups that are already challenging are coming forward. The American Civil Liberties Union, the American Civil Liberties Union of Louisiana, Americans United for Separation of Church and State, and the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Now, that's got to be a great group, Freedom From Religion Foundation. And the law saying all that the law does to violate longstanding Supreme Court precedent and the First Amendment, that this would result in unconstitutional religious coercion of students. Just because you have it in the room, you're coercing the students? Well, let's go back to the challenges that are coming.
The law requires schools display the text in a poster or frame document 11 by 14 inches at minimum in a large, easily readable font. And it also requires a 200-word context statement saying the Ten Commandments were a prominent part of the American public education for almost three centuries up until 50 years ago. The governor says having religion is an important foundation in the classroom.
This bill mandates the display of the Ten Commandments in every classroom in public, elementary, secondary, and post-education schools in the state of Louisiana. Because if you want to respect the rule of law, you got to start from the original lawgiver, which was Moses.
That is Governor Landry of Louisiana. He knows he's putting his state up for several lawsuits, and he really doesn't care because he believes this is what we should do. We need to return God to our country. And they're not saying students have to simply state it as part of a Pledge of Allegiance, but it's there in front of them. Now, you could put up the basic tenets of, you know, treat your neighbor as you would yourself, things of that nature, without calling it the Ten Commandments. You could put some of these up in that fashion. But they want to go all the way. And as far as the lawsuits, we're ready. Bring them on, the governor says.
The ACLU and multiple other organizations now preparing to sue the Landry administration. They released a statement saying in part, quote, all students should feel safe and welcome in our public schools. HB 71 would undermine this critical goal and prevent schools from providing an equal education to all students regardless of faith. We will not allow Louisiana lawmakers to undermine these religious freedom rights. And looking big picture here, other states, including Texas, South Carolina, and Utah, recently also tried to pass similar laws. None of them got through with the same text like this Louisiana law, but another case that we could potentially see all the way up at the Supreme Court in the future.
Yep, that's where it's going to end up. We all know that. And now the question would be, how many other states decide, let's go ahead and do the same thing? What we're having right now is a battle to save America. Before we go too far down this dark road. Yesterday, if you were listening, I had a Catholic nun who was doing a podcast and stating on her own that this election coming up is a battle between good and evil. That is very direct and very accurate. Which gives me an opportunity to remind you that this next Tuesday, June 25th, we are hosting a program with the Heritage Foundation in St. Charles, Saving America 2024, focusing on the economy and the courts. Saving America 2024, and we certainly need to do that. From the Heritage Foundation, Joel Griffith on the economic side, Zach Smith would join us, reference the legal issues, and I have no doubt this case is going to come up as a discussion. It takes place at the St. Charles Funny Bone next Tuesday. The doors open at 6:30, and I can get you free tickets. I can get you free tickets. All you have to do is contact us at newstalkstl.com, newstalkstl.com, and say how many you need. It will cost you nothing. We just need to know for sure how many to accommodate. I'm bringing several guests, and you're welcome to bring at least three others with you. And I look forward to seeing you. That'll be June 25th, next Tuesday, 6:30 at the St. Charles Funny Bone, Saving America 2024. And don't forget, 5 days after that, the election. And speaking of the election, there are new rules out on the election that they wrapped them all up. And they did by coin flip to decide who gets the final word on the debate. Donald Trump won by coin flip to get the final word. I'm sure Biden will be more than glad to be ending it, just sitting there listening, scowling possibly. In fact, let me point this out to you. That coin flip to determine the podium placement and the order of closing statements, the coin landed on the Biden's campaign pick, tails. You know, it says a lot when you go in a coin flip and you choose tails, really? Which meant his campaign got to choose whether it wanted to select the president's podium position or the order of closing statements. Biden campaign chose to select the podium position, which means the Democrat president will be on the right side of your viewing screen and putting Trump on the left as you look at it. I guess that's supposed to tell you that Trump is a lefty. Good luck with selling that message. But when they made that decision, then Trump got to decide who closes, and he said, I will. Good. I'm glad. In the meantime, Israel continues hunting down Hamas terrorists in Gaza on the south of Israel, as you well know. But Hezbollah is escalating war in northern Gaza, firing missiles and rockets from Lebanon, and this is rapidly escalating.
Hezbollah's leader has issued a threat to Israel, saying if a, quote, total war is launched against the terror group, quote, no place in Israel will be safe from the group's weapons. He said the Jewish state must prepare for attacks from the ground, air, and sea, saying Hezbollah will fight with, quote, no rules and no ceiling.
They began to lob missiles and rockets and drones into northern Israel on a regular basis, and they've escalated this in recent weeks. And Israel, and as a result of that, Israelis have been killed, and more than 60,000 Israelis have had to leave their cities, villages, homes. They're in hotels, they're further in the south, they're somewhere else. It's a situation that cannot continue indefinitely. Israel cannot allow Hezbollah to turn the north of Israel, the Galilee, the Golan, into a no-go zone.
A no-go zone. Now, the speaker there was the Clifford May from the Defense for Democracies Foundation. Netanyahu made a statement last night that has angered the Biden administration.
The administration has been withholding weapons and ammunition to Israel. Israel, America's closest ally, fighting for its life. During World War II, Churchill told the United States, give us the tools, we'll do the job. And I say, give us the tools and we'll finish the job a lot faster.
The White House's response also coming quick and sharp.
Let me just start off by saying that we generally do not know what he's talking about. We just don't.
I have no doubt she's absolutely correct. They don't know what he's talking about because they don't understand anything. That's where the difference is. Netanyahu made it very clear. You've been holding back weapons. The White House will tell you, no, we've been sending weapons, but on our time schedule. And they did hold some back because they feared Israel would use it to target civilians. Civilians are going to die in this war, and they're already, as you heard, in the northern part of Israel, dying from attacks from Hezbollah, missiles and rockets being fired in. And there's concern that Hezbollah could ramp that up so much that even the vaulted and basically highly praised Iron Dome would not be enough to protect Israel. And I'm talking about even the major cities of Israel. But the White House, because Netanyahu was again saying, you're not doing everything you can. You said you'd be our support. The White House canceled a meeting with Israel on Iran after Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu accused the U.S. of withholding those weapons. Netanyahu released his video claiming he'd told the Secretary of State Blinken, it, quote, was inconceivable. In the past few months, your administration has been withholding weapons and ammunition to Israel. Biden's top advisors were, quote, angered by those public statements, and they decided to make it clear on their own with the statement. And they said the decision makes it clear there are consequences for pulling such stunts, so we're not going to have this virtual meeting we were going to schedule with you. No, 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 no. Take your marbles and go home. That's the Biden administration in dealing with the terrorists that are attacking, wanting to wipe out Israel. And we do have an update, and a sad update, on hostages.
We're approaching 9 months since Hamas attacked Israel, killing 1,200 people and taking more than 250 hostages. This morning, we're learning that less than half of those remaining hostages may still be alive. The Wall Street Journal reporting that 70 of the remaining 120 hostages are believed to be dead. And the information the journal does state came directly from U.S. officials, but additional specifics not yet known at this point. A lot of developments that are happening pretty much on an hourly basis as usual.
This is tragic information if it plays out to be factual. But I have to give the reporting some credibility. It's based on some information after that raid that rescued the four hostages about a week and a half ago. And so as the intelligence was gathered, as more information was gathered about the status of the remaining hostages, you know, it's long been estimated at least 30 were believed to be dead in captivity through torture or mistreatment by Hamas. And so when we move that forward, it seems as though, and although now Hamas nor Israel have commented on this report, it seems as though it more are dead, unfortunately, in this. And this is a tragedy of what Hamas did in taking these hostages, holding them in terrible situations, torturing them, and general mistreatment throughout their captivity out here. But I would hate to say this is likely a fact.
More than likely it is. That's Mark Chandler, Mideast expert. Everything that's happening in the Middle East and around the world, Putin going to North Korea. Victor Davis Hanson with the Hoover Institute says we are in a dangerous time.
They cooked up this idea that they were going to empower an Iranian Hezbollah, Hamas, Houthi axis, and this was going to be the Persian Shia counterbalance to Israel and the moderate Gulf regime. So they trashed Saudi Arabia, they trashed Israel, they built up this axis, and they called it creative tension. And then we could vacate the Middle East and then play one side off against the other, completely oblivious that our friends in the Gulf were far better than the Iranians, of course, and Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. But this is the most dangerous time in our lifetime, Sean, all the way until Inauguration Day, because Putin sees he's trying to get nuclear proxies in Iran and North Korea to do what he thinks we're doing in Ukraine.
Yes, and Victor Davis Hanson said when they cooked it up, he's talking about the Obama administration and Biden helping carry it out. In the next hour, how the Biden White House continues to claim that our open border does not represent a threat to U.S. citizens. Really? Really? Well, up next, my guest in the race between U.S. and China to the last frontier, space, lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
My sponsor, Wellington Environmental, has helped thousands deal with hazardous materials. Hospitals, offices, schools, even homes. Here's something new. Wellington now offers dustless blasting. This is just like sandblasting, but without all the dust and emissions. Wellington uses everything from ground glass, walnuts, corn, even dry ice pellets. One university had Wellington remove their parking lot striping because dustless blasting is fast and it does not damage the concrete. So as a business or homeowner, I'm sure you could use this process. Industrial tanks, swimming pools, graffiti on buildings. And in fact, Wellington is blasting a Texaco station that will be revised as an historic building. Check the website for details and photos. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington, STL.com.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
If you haven't been to Lit Cigar Lounge in the District at Chesterfield, you're missing a great experience. Premium cigars, drinks, spacious seating, TVs in every direction. This and more explain why Lit was voted Best Cigar Lounge 2 years in a row. Now you can be at Lit and order Napoli Brothers pizza and pasta delivered to you. In fact, Napoli's just a few doors down, a coal-fired oven giving a unique taste. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, now open in the Chesterfield District.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. It was in March this year that Peter Navarro, an ex-White House aide to former President Trump, reported to federal prison in Miami, becoming the first former White House official to be imprisoned for contempt of Congress. He got a chance to stop at a gas station, talk to reporters briefly, and he said, "I am pissed. That's what I'm feeling right now. God bless you all. See you on the other side." Well, on the other side of the moon, China has a flag that is flying. They planted it earlier. Joining me now is a colleague of Peter Navarro. They were working on a book prior to him being in prison. Greg Autry. The title of the book is Red Moon Rising, How America Will Beat China on the Final Frontier. Welcome, Greg.
Welcome, and thank you for having me on the show.
Well, I'd obviously like to have you, but I'd also be glad to have Peter. I guess that's not very likely. Go ahead.
I would, too. We're all looking forward to Peter getting out in mid-July. And, frankly, if I was one of the – I'm trying to think of a flight word, but there isn't one – people who would put him there, I would be quaking because he is going to be a force of nature to be dealt with, and I'm looking forward to – working with him. Right now I'm out promoting our new book, Red Moon Rising.
Well, very quickly, before we get into full details of the book and the race on this final frontier with China, you guys spent obviously a lot of time on pulling it together. How quickly did you get it wrapped up before he actually had to report to prison?
Yeah, well, Peter and I worked together for 20 years, going back to UC Irvine in the early 2000s, and we've written a number of things on space over the years. I helped Peter put together the space policy for the first Trump administration, which he articulated in some articles in the fall of 2016, right before the election. I then served in the White House at the same time Peter was there as the White House liaison at NASA, and later I was appointed to be chief financial officer by Trump. So Peter and I were always working together on space, but we really started working on this book about August, September of last year. We had it kind of all on our mind, and Peter's an incredibly quick writer and been a mentor of mine. So we got it out. We wanted to get it published immediately. We didn't want to wait for hardback, so we went direct to paperback because we think the policy choices in there are extremely important. So it's available now on Amazon.
All right, well, I want to go through it, and I'd mentioned that he was telling reporters, I'll see you on the other side, which leads me to part of your book, and of course, China, this last June, unfurled its red and gold flag on the far side of the moon, then collected rock and soil samples to bring back to Earth. That spaceship is due to land somewhere in the Inner Mongolia region of China 5 days from now. But this book titled Red Moon Rising, this is another front line for us. If China now has some access to the moon or indicate they can get there, what is the threat level?
Yeah, to be clear, they have succeeded in getting there multiple times. Their Chang'e 5 lander is really identical to this one. It landed near the South Polar region and put up a flag and returned soil missiles. This is kind of a duplicate mission to that. And they've been very successful, whereas, frankly, the U.S. had one failure to reach the moon earlier this year and a lander that it fell over after it landed. The Russians crashed on the moon. The Israelis, Japanese, and several others have attempted and failed. Only India and China have succeeded. That's a new world we've got to pay attention to.
And you mentioned India, right?
Yeah, India had a success.
Right. I want to make sure we include them. So the stakes obviously have to be considered high, but what's the payoff? Or if you don't become the first and the dominant, what's the payoff?
So there are a number of resources in the moon. When you look up and you see those craters out there, they were each made by the impact of an asteroid, many of them filled with valuable metals, platinum, gold, titanium, and rare earths that we're having trouble getting to because we've allowed China and Russia to secure the global supply chain on these critical elements that we need for our military and our industry. They're available on the moon. China will go there, I'm convinced, and find ways to tie up the best land as quickly as possible by establishing scientific experiments and other things that can't be interfered with on the lunar surface.
You're listening, Greg Autry, author, along with Peter Navarro, of Red Moon Rising. I have to admit, I'm very surprised that the first thing you were pointing out is a land grab as opposed to a position to fire weapons towards the U.S.
That's another issue that can happen, but the land grab is the first thing that's happening right now. It's better, frankly, to put the weapons closer in space at first, and that's happening. Russia's made some very scary noises about orbiting a nuclear anti-satellite system. China is certainly being aggressive in their militarization of space, and the moon is the ultimate high ground. So that is coming too. But it's both resources and strategic position. And
it's money. And it's money. Do we have money that we're committing enough to revitalize our space program? Are we going to be outspending? Our military is already decimated, and we're looking at what we're doing now, and it seems to be falling short on every level.
Yeah, you know, frankly, it's both money, but it's also alacrity and just common sense to do things right. And as you've probably seen in our military, some people are tearing it apart. Regardless of how the money you spend, if you put the wrong culture in there, you're going to fail. The good news is President Trump did a lot of great things in space, reestablishing the Space Council, setting up the Space Force, committing to the return to the moon. We just need to pick that mission back up with some sense of urgency and discipline and get it done.
I'm going to ask you, while the book is Red Moon Rising, focusing on the moon, we're already talking, of course, and have explorations towards Mars. Plus, minus, Mars versus the moon, and of course the money spent is big, but what's your thought?
The Mars does not have the strategic implications, either militarily or resource-wise, for the Earth that the moon does. So the moon's got to be target number one. It gives us a lot of learning and capability development to get and settle on Mars. At the same time, ambitious folks like Elon Musk want to go to Mars on their own, and NASA and the U.S. government should absolutely be supporting that rather than competing with it. It's going to be a world where the government, to accomplish more science and exploration and military objectives, is going to have a variety of commercial vendors, just like we do in you know, ocean and air transportation here on Earth, you're going to be able to buy a ride to the moon or Mars from a variety of companies. And that's a better place for the U.S. to be. And it's the way we beat China, which is really the essence of the book.
And that was just getting ready to reemphasize that, that the full title of the book is Red Moon Rising, How America Will Beat China on the Final Frontier. Thumbnail, how do we beat China?
By leveraging our entrepreneurial and disruptive thinkers in our commercial environment in concert with our best-in-class governmental efforts. We're not going to beat them in a big socialized space program, because big socialized engineering programs is their superpower. So let's use ours, which is a competitive dynamic market with crazy disruptive thinkers who come up with new ideas. That's how we beat them.
Well, I hear that, and I certainly agree with it. But also, when you mention disruptive thinkers, I think we've got already too many that are disrupting the wrong way.
Well, that's one of the costs of disruption, is it always goes both ways. And the U.S. is more failure tolerant and willing to listen to different voices, and that's what we have to do. So we've got a great group of traditional space companies that have incredible expertise and have skill working with the U.S. government, and then we've got this group of new thinkers who are going to try some things out. Some are going to be wrong. Some of them think they're going to be wrong, and we're going to be wrong. They're going to be right. And that's how it plays out. And, you know, frankly, if you go back to the railroads or anything else, it's been that public-private partnership.
Yeah.
But the private sector that drove the new ideas forward so the government could utilize them effectively.
That's a perfect example, Transcontinental Railroad and the two sides competing from the each coast and two businesses competing for it. Now,
absolutely.
I look back, and in fact, I was talking to someone the other day about Chuck Yeager, and of course featured in the Thomas Wolfe book, The Right Stuff, in the beginning of our Gemini program, our astronaut program, and how far we've come, and yet now things are moving at a pardon the phrase, warp speed?
Well, they should be moving at warp speed, and they were, frankly, during the Trump administration. The good news is the Biden administration hasn't stopped anything, but again, there's not that sense of urgency that we need, and I'm really looking forward to President Trump coming in and kicking it into warp speed.
That I would also like to see happen. Again, the title of the book is Red Moon Rising, How America Will Beat China on the Final Frontier. It is available now on Amazon, correct?
Absolutely.
Co-authored by Greg Autry and Peter Navarro, who's still behind cell bars at this point. We'll do it again in the future. I thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you so much.
You bet. There is, by the way, there is a movie being promoted now called Fly Me to the Moon. It's really going to feed into a lot of conspiracy theories already. I haven't seen it, but I saw a clip of the preview, and it's basically faking the moon landing. A lot of folks think we never did land on the moon, and that's what this movie apparently is doing, because it's got guys hoisting supposed astronauts up by ropes and trying to act like they're bouncing around on the moon, and they're going to kind of CGI or something like. One guy said, I'm not going to do that. It's high my credibility. They're walking past all these Secret Service agents with dark glasses on, and the person tells them they'll kill you if you do. Okay, I'll go along with it. Yeah, everybody bends a little bit. Coming up, Senator Kennedy says this inflation trick is getting old.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
John Beal knows that right after a hailstorm, new roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beal started in the roofing business, helping his granddad and his dad. Always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beal Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Hey, this is a great time to get fantastic deals at Ackerman Toyota, number one volume dealer in the area. Why? Very simple. They want to make you happy. They'll come up with a deal that puts you in the driver's seat. You'll be smiling as you drive off the lot. You got a trade-in? You're going to get top dollar from Ackerman. Looking for a premium used car or truck? Ackerman is the answer. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
He's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in the mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
My sponsor, McGuire Moving, has job openings for drivers and movers offering competitive pay. You can be off every night if you want or on the road. You're off every other weekend. Full benefits, insurance, paid vacations. But McGuire is a very good company. So here's a very important requirement. You must excel in making customers happy. Full or part-time job? More information, go to McGuireMoving.com. Apply online at McGuireMoving.com/careers.
This is News Talk STL.
I'm gonna run away to the gun carry, make camp where the land is bare. I'm gonna run away to the gun carry, ain't no one gonna find me there. Ain't no one gonna find me there. Found trouble in the town I come from. Left 6 months ago or so. I had to run from the man I wronged there.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
What you're doing is stimulating the market. You're pumping money into the economy. And Jay Powell is over here beavering away trying to reduce inflation. And you're beavering away trying to increase it. By paying
that we're doing
an interest rate that is 100 basis points higher than you would have to pay. And the only way I can, reason I can figure that y'all are doing that is to try to give the economy a sugar high 5 months before an election. Why else would anybody want to borrow at 5% when you can borrow at 4%?
That's an excellent question, Senator Kennedy of Louisiana. He was questioning Janet Yellen, our Treasury Secretary, who at one time had been also head of the Fed. And he nailed it. You guys are tinkering around with this all because of the election coming, and you're trying to make it clear to people, hey, we're gonna fix rates again for you. We're going to make things better. You're going to give them a sugar high and a promise of things yet to come, which is very solid with this administration. They're very good at making promises of what they will do. And some come true one way or the other, and some are just at the edge, and some just, we never said that. Kennedy was asking Yellen, I recall in another meeting the other day, talking about how much that inflation under Biden cost Louisiana families. The average salary in the state of Louisiana is around $58,000. That sounds like a lot to a lot of folks, but then again, you keep looking at inflation and everything's going on. No, it's not. He pointed out, he said, these high prices caused by Bidenomics are here to stay, aren't they? He's not talking about the inflation rate. He's talking about the prices you're paying. He said that the cost of living in Louisiana right now is costing those families anywhere from $700, $900, $800 to $1,000 extra a month. A month. If you had to, I don't care what you're, let's say you're earning a very good salary. You, even if you're earning, let's say I'll give you $100K. You've got some of it allocated, maybe some for saving, maybe for, some for doing different things, maybe a few family events from time to time. I mean, you want to enjoy life to some extent. You don't want to be logged and tracked and put on a treadmill like a mouse or something. But If I suddenly told you you're going to have to spend now, based on that income, another $1,500 a month for everything, that's going to change your budget up and what your plans are. So again, Kennedy had told Yellen in one of the last appearances, these high prices caused by Bidenomics are here to stay, aren't they? Her answer, I don't expect the level of prices to go down. Some prices will be higher than they were before the pandemic and will stay higher. Thank you, Bidenomics. Kennedy said, if you don't get a pay raise, his words, if you don't get a pay raise, you're screwed. He said, under Bidenomics, he asked this question. You don't think we need to get these prices down? You think it's okay that bacon's up 20% under Biden, chicken's up 24%, coffee's up 30%, gas up 44%, used cars and trucks are up 24%. You don't think we need to get these prices down? People are getting really good, he said, at barely getting by because of Bidenomics. Monthly inflation costs have risen 18% since Biden took office. And as I said, with the median income of a Louisiana household just under $58,000, it's costing them almost another $100 to $1,200 plus a month, maybe as low as $800 if they barely get by. And yet they're going to stay and indicate, hey, there's going to be a cut. We're going to be offering an inflation cut on the Federal Reserve coming up. It'll be just in time for the election, and that's supposed to appease everyone, make everybody happy. This is the philosophy of Bidenomics and all of those who swarm around it and say, this is great. The American people buying into this and they accept it. I had a friend tell me yesterday, he said, my wife notified me that her student loan had suddenly been forgiven, something like 20 plus thousand. Got a notice, your loan is wiped off. And he said, she is a Trump supporter all the way. And he said, I thought about telling her, you know, that was done because of what Biden wanted to do. He said, I'm just going to let her enjoy the fact that it's wiped out, but she knows. The key is, will that make her now decide to go vote for Biden? Nah, likely at all. They continue doing all this pandering, constantly reaching out, trying to do what they can. And we'll get into that in detail before we wrap up this hour. They're going to put everything in front of you that looks appetizing and say, and we'll give you more. We got more in the back room if you put me back in office. As Kamala said the other day, give us 4 more years. We'll accomplish everything. I don't want to give you another day. I want you out now. You're destroying this country in so many ways. But those at the top, Biden, Harris, and the like, and the Hollywood elite, they'll be floating at the top. I know some other things that float. Just came to mind. I'll let you figure that one out. But you also have some of these useful idiots around them that are saying, well, we got to find a way to, you know, push more of the green agenda. And one thing, if folks can't really get into an electric car right now, then maybe what we need to do, I want you to listen to this. This is supposedly a learned person. It's another yuppie. It's another yuppie that just comes forward and says, I think what we should do, if you don't have public transit in your area and you can't get into electric cars, we can't get more cars off the road that way, then maybe this will be the answer.
So this is why we talk about mobility, because actually if you can get people to share a car, you can take out, I mean, a lot of cars in the streets. I think it's Singapore where they looked how they could bring it down to about 40% of the cars if we would use them smarter. And the interesting thing about technology is that it makes sharing easy and fun and not annoying. It used to be a little bit difficult to share. You know, you would have to go in somewhere in the other end of town and get a key. And I mean, that's not what you want to do if you want to take your car. But if you can just use your neighbor's car because you have a smartphone and an app and you don't even need to know the neighbor to get into his car, or if you can find ways of carpooling, and this is what technology helps you do. It's much easier and much more fun to share, and you start then thinking different about transport and traffic. And I think it's very important that we do not just try to fix yesterday's paradigm, but think about how do we want a city to move.
How do we want a city to move? We want you to move out of the city. That's part of the World Economic Forum. One of the speakers, a young global leader, saying if we just get more people to share, it's fun to share. They're not going where I want to go. Are they going to go somewhere else? Listen, young global leader, there was a time we were car sharing in this country, like people on the side of the road hitchhiking. I wish, can you share your car with me for a few miles or your truck? And now she says, it's so much easier now. You can simply get an app and find out who wants to share a car and go somewhere. Isn't that fun? Doesn't it sound joyful? And you don't have to go somewhere to get the key. You have an access to get into it. May I say something to you that you might not know? Car thieves already know how to get in your car, and they're going to share your car. This is the idiocy of the thinking that we have at a World Economic Forum that someone like this surfaces and says, well, one of the things we could do, look at Singapore. We get 40% of the cars off the road if people would share more, and they have. Or you can be in one of those taxis that are pulled by a man going around the city for a while, providing him a wage to some extent. But sharing a car with someone you have no idea who they are, we're not talking about getting on a train or a plane with people you don't know who they are, but we're talking about getting into a car. Already we have some rideshare cases. One just broke again the other day where a young girl is waiting on a rideshare to show up. I'm not going to bother using the name of the company because I don't want to put the blame on them, but they're going to be facing some legal suits because of it. The driver sees the girl standing there, and he kind of pulls up. It's a nice-looking car. She opens the door, and he says, you so-and-so? And he said, yep. So she closes the door, and he starts driving the opposite direction. She said, no, that's not where I want to go. And then she tries to get out. The doors are locked from inside. She can't get out. Yeah, ride sharing can be a lot of fun. But as I mentioned earlier, the Biden White House is always, always pandering to get votes. The student loan forgiveness that I mentioned earlier. And all the other empty promises they'll put in front of you. Give us 4 more years. But Americans are more than fed up with this at this point. That story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
What's crazy is the fact that people say that the Republicans pander to the black community, but the Democrats are the ones telling you, you need us. We're going to support you. Here's this handout, but it's just enough to barely make it. Like, you're not going to ball out, but you'll always need them. The Republican Party is saying, you don't need us. You got this. You're capable of anything. This is America. Make it happen. See, that's why people don't want to hear what I have to say, because what I'm going to say is do the work. Stop waiting for a handout. Reparations ain't never coming. And you know what's even crazier is letting the 10 million plus illegal immigrants that are coming over here and taking all of the American jobs, pretty soon they're not going to need the black vote because they're letting in their voters that are going to vote to have handouts and be taken care of like they already are. So you go ahead and enjoy the pandering from the Democrats, black community, LGBTQ community, people of color, all of y'all. Yes, enjoy it because it's going to end soon.
That is a young American expressing the truth. And that's a far cry from ride sharing is fun. She's saying this pandering and all these handouts are going to come to an end. And she reemphasized something I've said repeatedly. The black vote is not going to be that important to the Democrats in a short period of time because of the illegals they've led into the country. Many of them, majority, would be Hispanic. Latino, and the black voter will be diminished with the Democrat plan. At some point, they'll begin to wake up and see it, just as she's speaking. But for right now, they're still pandering to them and saying, you need us, you need us. No, in this country, they really should not need you unless you put them in a position where they have to. And it is true in this country that you can make it on your own if you have the opportunity. I've told you before repeatedly, numerous times I've been to Vegas, I either in one of these share ride cars or with a cab driver, and often or not, they are from another country originally, but they are now Americans. Some from Nigeria, some from Thailand, some from Croatia, Bosnia, and they all talk about how good it is to be in this country. The freedoms I have. I can make my own job. I can make decisions for me and my family. Just give them an opportunity. But the Democrat philosophy has been, you need us. You can't accomplish anything on your own. I do remind you that we have the June 25th, next Tuesday, at St. Charles Funny Bone, Streets of St. Charles, Saving America 2024, presentation with the Heritage Foundation on the economy and the courts. And then 2 days later will be the first presidential debate carried by CNN. We will be carrying it here on the program right after this show airs on that Thursday night. And we will be holding a watch party, a debate watch party at Johnny's Hideout. Invite you to come out and do that. And in case you missed me pointing out earlier, they did a coin toss today to decide who gets to sit where and who has the last word. The Biden team selected tails. I never accept tails, but so they did. Says a lot, I think. That's my thought. And it ends up tails. And they said, well, we want to choose where we sit first. So as you look at the screen, Biden will be on your right. And on your left would be Donald Trump. They chose they could do that, or they could choose who speaks last. And they chose where they sit on the stage. So Trump gets to go last in that debate. Oh, it's going to be a hoot. Coming up, the increasing threat of terrorism inside our nation. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.